Well, hello. This is Bob Sutherland from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Wall Street Journal, from the business section of Raleigh's News and Observer, and from, Reuters, Bloomberg, and we'll try to get some others in. But today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They've served our community since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. Well, from the front page of the Wall Street Journal today, Monday, July the 6th, I'll just read you some small tidbits from the front page, left-hand side. The Duke Energy and Dominion Energy said they were abandoning the proposed $8 billion pipeline, citing regulatory delays and uncertainty. The European Union's digital policy and antitrust czar detailed a comprehensive plan for the United States tech giants on content, competition, and taxes. China is behind on targets for the purchase of American energy under this year's trade deal, export data show. Many investors are struggling to predict where the stock market is headed, and betting that healthcare shares won't lead the way. Used car market is faring better than it was before the COVID-19 crisis, a relief to makers and dealers. A probe into Lukins, that's L-U-C-K-I-N, apostrophe S, into their accounting, concluded the coffee chain's chairman knew or should have known about fabricated transactions. Commerce Bank's CEO and chairman have submitted their resignations as the bank faces pressure from Cerberus for a deep overhaul. Clothing retailer Lucky Brand has filed for bankruptcy with initial plans to close at least 13 stores. Now, worldwide, researchers are engaged in an unprecedented effort to recruit the tens of thousands of healthy volunteers needed to finish testing coronavirus vaccines in late stages of development. Two U.S. carriers completed hundreds of aircraft launches in a display of American military power in the disputed South China Sea. Trump has seized on saving statues and monuments as a winning issue for his reelection by attacking protesters and Democrats in remarks over July the 4th weekend. Well, speaking of the used car market, sales roar back after the April drop. The COVID-19 pandemic has hurt the auto sector, but one part of the industry is faring better than it was before the crisis, that is, used cars. Sales of used vehicles in the United States have rebounded after dropping 38% in April when states were shut down and some dealerships were forced to close. In June, used vehicle sales rose 17% above the pre-pandemic forecast. That's according to research firm J.D. Power. Sales of used vehicles in the United States have rebounded after dropping 38%, and the several factors are drawing buyers to the used car lot. Some have used federal stimulus checks for their purchases, and dealers and analysts indicated that. Interest rates have fallen during the pandemic to about 4.73% on average for a 36-month used car loan from about 5% in early March. That's according to bankrate.com. Meanwhile, many dealers are having trouble getting new vehicles from the factory after the health crisis forced automakers to close their plants for nearly 2 months this spring. That has led salespeople to more readily redirect customers to the used car lot, dealers say. The used vehicle market swift recovery is a relief for dealers and automakers, which has seen other areas of their businesses upended by the pandemic. Well, I mentioned Dominion Energy at the start of our program today. The builders of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline are pulling the plug on the project as companies continue to meet mounting environmental opposition to new fossil fuel conduits. Duke Energy and Dominion Energy said Sunday they were abandoning the proposed $8 billion pipeline, which aimed to carry natural gas 600 miles through West Virginia, and North Carolina, and underneath the Appalachian Trail, citing continued regulatory delays and uncertainty even after a favorable U.S. Supreme Court ruling last month. Dominion said it was selling the rest of its natural gas transmission and storage network to Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway for $9.7 billion, including some debt. The deal includes a 25% stake in the Cove Point liquefied natural gas export facility in Maryland, of which Dominion will remain the largest owner. Copper prices fell Friday, signaling a pause in the industrial metal surge on mounting concerns that the rally may have been overdone. Copper futures for October delivery slipped about 1% to 6,030 a metric ton on the London Metal Exchange. The drop comes as investors struggle to reconcile signs of a global economic recovery with the surge in the virus infections in the United States, which could deal a setback to manufacturers. Well, the Food and Drug Administration released guidance outlining conditions for approving a COVID-19 vaccine, including that any vaccine be at least 50% more effective than a placebo in preventing the disease. The 50% benchmark is used routinely for flu vaccines. The FDA said it wouldn't approve or give emergency use authorization to any coronavirus vaccine unless the maker had clearly demonstrated proof of its safety and effectiveness in a clinical study. Well, Inovio Pharmaceuticals reported positive preliminary results from the first phase trial of its vaccine candidate for the virus, citing good indications for the vaccine safety and potential to protect against the virus in a small initial study. The drug maker said the vaccine candidate, which it calls INO-4800, was tolerated by participants during an 8-week span, and that 34 of 36 participants demonstrated overall immune responses 6 weeks into taking two doses. The vaccine, one of many in development around the world, has much to prove, but the results don't show whether it actually protects people who are exposed to the virus, an important proof point. Many vaccines fail to pass muster even after showing positive signs. Inovio said it has expanded the trial to add other participants and plans to start later stage studies when the company receives regulatory approval. Well, from China's economic recovery picked up steam in June as exports and services benefited from government support policies and the reopening of some overseas markets, official data showed. The world's second largest economy remains far from a full recovery. However, economists say a series of recent signs of increased economic momentum points to China's recording positive growth in the second quarter. That follows a sharp contraction in the first 3 months of the year, when much of the country was locked down due to the virus. China's official manufacturing purchasing managers index climbed to a three-month high of 50.9 in June from 50.6 in May. Well, new virus cases could go up to $100,000 a day if people continue to flout advice on social distancing and face masks. That's according to Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease doctor, told the Senate panel last week. He said it could get very bad. The United States is now recording about 40,000 new cases a day of the virus. The surge of new infections and rising hospitalization rates in states such as California and Texas have jeopardized reopening plans throughout the United States, threatening a nascent economic recovery. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, speaking on Capitol Hill Tuesday, pledged to consider additional relief to prevent lasting damage to labor markets and businesses as states struggle to contain the pandemic. Mr. Powell said hiring, spending, and other economic activity had rebounded earlier than central bank officials had anticipated in the spring, but said the increase in commerce that entails large gatherings or other close personal contact carried new risks. One of the biggest legal fights in the history of insurance has begun. A cavalcade of restaurateurs, retailers, and others hurt by pandemic shutdowns have sued to force their insurers to cover billions in business losses. A video berating the industry ran for most of June on a giant screen in New York's Times Square, four times each hour around the clock. And it reads like this: insurance companies, do the right thing. That was the chorus at the end of the video. Repeating the words were a musician, a dancer, a chef, a rabbi, a comedian, and a New Orleans plaintiff's lawyer who paid for the video. Millions of businesses across the United States have business interruption insurance. The pandemic, no question, interrupted their businesses, but insurance companies have largely refused to pay claims under this coverage, citing a standard requirement for a physical damage. That is a legacy of its origins in the early 1900s as part of property insurance protection that manufacturers from broken boilers and other failing equipment that closed factories. The insurance is also known as business income coverage. More than half of property policies in force today specifically exclude viruses. The firms filing the lawsuit mostly hold policies without that exclusion. The argument for getting around the physical damage requirement is that the virus sticks to services and renders workplaces unsafe. Well, home price growth accelerated in April while sales dropped sharply and a limited supply of homes for sale in many markets. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller National Home Price Index, which measures average home prices in major metropolitan areas across the nation, rose 4.7% in the year that ended in April. That was up from 4.6 annual rate the prior month. Sales of previously owned homes, which make up the bulk of the housing market, dropped 18% in April, from a month earlier as the virus pandemic shut down business activity in many parts of the country. That's according to the National Association of Realtors. Home buyers have been enticed by low interest rates. Some sellers have taken their homes off the market or decided not to sell, restricting the number of houses for sale. The total number of homes on the market at the end of April fell 19.7% from a year earlier. Well, U.S. stocks jumped after the June unemployment report showed the economy added more jobs than expected, reassuring investors that the recovery is continuing. The United States regained 4.8 million jobs last month, while the unemployment rate ticked down to 11.1% from 13.3% in May. That marked the second consecutive month that employers added jobs since massive waves of layoffs gripped the country earlier in the virus pandemic. Both figures beat the expectations of economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal. All three major U.S. indices finished the day and the week higher, despite seeing Thursday's gains ease in the final hour of trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished the day up 92 points, or 0.4% to close at 25,827.36. The blue chip index had initially surged nearly 470 points to start the day, rising on excitement surrounding the jobs report. Well, in the bond market, U.S. government bond yields reversed an early climb and closed lower Thursday, with investors weighing persistent worries about the economic outlook against a better-than-expected monthly jobs report. The yield on the 10-year Treasury, that's a key benchmark for borrowing costs on everything from mortgages to student loans, had climbed 0.7% in the wake of Thursday morning's data, according to TradeWeb. But it then retraced the move, settling at 67 basis points compared with 68 on Wednesday. Bond yields rose as prices fall, or rise as prices fall, as you know. Some analysts call the reversal a signal that investors believe a full economic recovery is going to take time. The 10-year yield tends to rise and fall with investors' expectations for growth and inflation and has traded within a relatively narrow range around 0.7% in recent weeks. Well, while we own bonds, virus cases do strain the municipal bond market. The recent surge in the COVID-19 cases has brought more bad news for a municipal bond market already reeling from the impact of coast-to-coast shutdowns and record employment. On Wednesday, the U.S. Virgin Islands Water and Power Authority narrowly avoided default. The utility got a badly needed reprieve when Chicago-based Nuveen agreed to accept a $34 million payment that was due on Wednesday on August 31 instead. Analysts questioned whether the territory has enough money on hand to make the payment. The territory isn't alone in facing pressure. 10 municipal borrowers defaulted for the first time in May and another 10 in June. That's the highest for those months since 2012, when borrowers were still absorbing hits from the 2008 financial crisis. That's according to municipal market analytics data. Many municipal borrowers are being crushed by the massive falloff in the collection of sales, income, and hotel taxes, airport fees, and other revenues. Even some investment-grade issuers are showing signs of serious strain in their abilities to pay future debts. Well, the Treasury Department has agreed to terms for loans to the American Airlines and four smaller airlines as part of an aid program to help the hard-hit industry weather the virus pandemic. Treasury said that in addition to American, Frontier, Hawaiian, SkyWest, and Spirit, airlines had agreed to loan terms and signed letters of intent. Air travel fell sharply this spring as government restrictions on travel and fears of infection kept passengers from flying. While air travel has started to creep back, demand remains a fraction of what it was a year ago, and airline executives have said they expect a full recovery will take years. Well, trade between the United States and the rest of the world slowed further in May in a sign of the continuing toll that the virus pandemic was taking on the global economy. Exports from the United States fell 4.4% to $145 billion. That's a Commerce Department report showing on Thursday. Imports slipped 0.9% to $199 billion, leaving a seasonally adjusted deficit of $54 billion. That's an increase of almost 10% and the widest since December of 2018. The United States usually runs a deficit in goods and a surplus in services such as medical care, higher education, royalties, and payments. In May, the services surplus shrank to its lowest level since February of 2016 as demand for business services waned. Oil prices rose Thursday after employment data showed the U.S. economy gained more jobs than expected last month. U.S. crude futures for August delivery added 2.1% to $40.65 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange, their highest closing price since March the 6th. Prices edged higher after Labor Department data showed the United States added 4.8 million jobs in June, bringing the unemployment rate down to 11.1%. That increase was larger than economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal. Oil investors said Thursday's strong employment report was a sign that the U.S. economy is recovering from the pandemic despite a recent climb in cases. Recent data has indicated that the recovery could be slowing down, a concerning development for those betting on surging demand for crude. Well, when Charles Scharf, that's S-C-H-A-R-F, took over at Wells Fargo last year, he was tasked with moving the bank past a fake account scandal. He brought in a cleanup crew of former colleagues from his long career at Wall Street. A new chief operating officer and head of public affairs, credit cards, and strategic planning had all worked with Mr. Scharf at J.P. Morgan Chase or Bank of New York Mellon. Another longtime J.P. Morgan executive joined the board. All are white men. As nationwide protests over racial justice stretched into the fourth week, Mr. Scharf promised to do better. In a June 16 memo to employees, he said the firm would tie executives' bonuses to the diversity of their units and double the number of black senior leaders by 2025. The next day, he introduced Wells Fargo's new head of wealth management, Barry Sommers, a white man who had worked at Morgan. ExxonMobil warned Thursday of steep losses in its refining and oil and gas production business during the second quarter, signaling that the company is likely to report a second straight quarter loss this month. Lower oil and gas prices are poised to drag down production profits by an estimated $2.5 billion to $3.1 billion compared with the first quarter. Exxon said that in a regulatory filing. That unit reported $536 million in profit for the first quarter. Exxon expects that tighter margins on turning oil into fuel, such as gasoline and diesel, and higher costs associated with moving crude around North America, will reduce the profits by some $800 million to $1.2 billion from the prior quarter. Company shares edged up 85.85% Thursday as the benchmark oil climbed about 2% to nearly $41 a barrel. That's the highest settlement price since March. Well, five U.S. restaurant companies have recently found suitors to acquire them out of bankruptcy, in contrast to the host of troubled retailers failing to attract buyers amid the pandemic. Chains that own casual dining brands, including Crystal, Logan's Roadhouse, Gorgon Biersch, Bar Louie, Brio, Bravo, and the U.S. division of Le Pain Quotidien have all found takers for their bricks and mortar locations after filing for bankruptcy protection this year. The buyers are betting that restaurants will rebound after the pandemic. That view doesn't extend to retailers that have struggled to adapt to changing consumer preferences. The growth of e-commerce, particularly Amazon.com, and the obsolescence of malls. None of the major bricks and mortar retailers that filed for bankruptcy in 2020 looking for a buyer has been able to sell its stores, according to bankruptcydata.com. The recent wave of retail bankruptcies has come as government-mandated virus closures tipped struggling companies over the edge. Restaurants were ordered to close their dining rooms, though many have continued to serve customers through drive-throughs, carry-out, curbside pickup, and delivery. Well, workers whose livelihoods have been bruised by the virus are trying to pandemic-proof their careers. Peter Brook's consulting firm lost 70% of its business during 1 week in March as the startups he helped with marketing strategy development hit pause on growth plans. Mr. Brooks, 35 years old, is now starting a marketing agency with friends and using newfound time on his hands to expand his skills, taking online courses in international entrepreneurship and French, which he said will help develop business he is working on in Europe and Rwanda. He says, I don't really see a long runway for me in this field. I'm trying to branch out. Well, hog prices have fallen for nearly 2 months. That's a decline that accelerated in recent sessions after a government report confirmed that the U.S. swine production has bounced back from the COVID-19 faster than anticipated. Most active lean hog futures trade in Chicago Mercantile Exchange fell more than 7% on Friday after the Department of Agriculture released its quarterly hogs and pigs report. Most active hog futures were trading just shy of 49 cents a pound on Tuesday. That's up from Friday's close, but still near the lowest level since April, in the depths of the market's reaction to the virus shutdown of food service businesses and meatpacking plants nationwide. Separately, Dr. Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert and an advisor to President Trump, warned Tuesday that China faces a new strain of swine flu with similar characteristics to the H1N1 virus that could at some point threaten humans. Well, the reopening of admissions at senior housing communities owned by companies like Ventas and Healthpeak Properties is slowing, but failing to end the downward slide in occupancy rates. That's the latest sign that the hard-hit industry faces a long slog to recovery. Hundreds of senior housing communities halted admissions during the pandemic to protect residents against a virus that is particularly deadly to the elderly and those with health problems. That has meant lost revenue at a time when pandemic-related costs have soared. Now, as a shaky reopening proceeds in parts of the United States, many of the communities have started admitting new seniors. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I do hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Bob Sutherland, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They have served our community since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, triangleredingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call us at 832-5138.